Guilds of Ravnica cassette review. Get ready. I wanted to start off with some, like, some plays alike, some possible replacements, some things that we may have gotten, like, the 5 through 8 of, or some sort of powerful but very narrow things. There's a new Doom Traveler called Hunted Witness. It is Doom Traveler. When it dies, you make a token. Instead of being a flying spirit, it's a light 1/1 lifelink ground pounder. If that's what you're looking for, if you just need more Doom Travelers for your presumably Aristocrats deck, then you have another one.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about the 5 through 8 effect before, where it's like it's hard to build a strategy around a card you only have 4 of, but when you get, you know, the 8th copy of that effect, it's a lot easier to center a strategy around it.
This one actually, somebody on the Discord actually pointed this one out. Justice Strike is a red-white creature does damage to itself equal to its power spell. This effect does already exist in Modern, but it is either restrictive and sorcery speed. There's one, the closest one is Kiku's Shadow, which is sorcery speed and double black. This one is red white in an instant. The other ones are like 3 mana, 4 mana, just not playable. It's notable. It was an interesting thing that caught their eye. The discard spell, the 1 mana discard spell, is called Vicious Rumors. It's basically it's Horrifying Revelation, which is 1 mana, opponent discards a card and mills one. This is they also lose 1 life. So the smallest of pox.
Yes.
You lose a life, you mill one, and you discard a card.
Upgrade
But it's a lot.
It's definitely an upgrade over a card that already exists. I think it's worse than Raven's Crime by a large margin, but
oh yeah, I mean this is like the 7th best 1 mana discard spell in Modern. So I don't think it would, unless there's a very specific strategy that needs to interact with the top of the deck as well. I don't think it's playable, but it was an interesting upgrade. Sure. Glowspore Shaman is a commune effect. Like, look at the top. I think it's 5.
No, Glowspore Shaman is only 3 cards. Oh, commune is. Okay. Glowspore Shaman mills 3 cards, and you can put a land from among them on top of your library.
Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting that it's a 3/1, so it's a good body. But I think, like, if you're looking for this effect, you'd probably rather just play Satyr Wayfinder.
Sure.
And maybe it's like Satyr Wayfinder copies 5 and 6, something like that. But
yep.
Yeah, for the most part.
Yeah, there's there are decks that are interested in that effect, with a body, and the 3 power is very relevant. Okrun Assassin. This one I actually really like. It's 1/1 green/black for a 1/1 with Death Touch, and when it attacks, everything that can block it has to. So this is like a callback to my childhood when I first put a lure on a Thicket Basilisk and just reveled in my genius.
Yep.
Even though, like, everybody else was obviously doing it at the same time.
Like, I don't think Okrun Assassin's amazing, but I will say it's very, very good with Exalted triggers. So if you're playing Noble Hierarch, yep. You know, something you could look at. You can hit it off Collected Company. It's a card.
Yeah, it is a unique effect. Like, in terms of stuff being on one card. Like, normally this is a 2-card combo that you have to put together. The fact that it's just there is notable. Yep. Midnight Reaper is a better Grim Haruspex. Grim Haruspex was a staple in standard rally decks and saw some play in some builds of a sort of aristocratic kind of decks. When a creature dies, when a creature you own dies, you draw a card. Midnight Reaper is basically very similar text, like functionally the same, except it also triggers off of itself, which Grim Haruspex doesn't. So if you're If you're in the market for Grim Hair Specs, probably grab a Midnight Reaper, because you're guaranteed to get a card out of it.
Yep.
Ritual of Soot. This actually almost made my real deal list. It has the same text as Consume the Meek, which is destroy all creatures with converted mana cost 3 or less. Notable differences. It's 4 mana instead of 5, which is something. It is a sorcery. Consume the Meek is 1 more mana, but it's an instant, which is like, I've played that card, insane blowout potential. Like, the card is just, it's nuts in a deck that's sort of like built to cast it. I guess in a deck where I was also playing like delve creatures, like this becomes more attractive. But I don't know if I would play it over Languish. Like, I think I would play Languish first before I played this. But I could definitely see a world in which I played like a split.
Sure. I mean, I like Ritual of Soot because of how good it is with like Tasker and Gurmag Angler against like humans decks.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it's definitely strong enough to see play. It's just very narrow. Like the deck has to be very specific. Not unlike Lotleth Giant. Lotleth Giant is like a 7 mana million a million. Like, the body doesn't matter. I mean, it matters, but it, like, you're never gonna hard cast this. A Lotleth Giant is ETB, and then it domes you for, or domes your opponent for the number of creatures in your graveyard. So, like, you know, Dredge, obviously, like in Legacy, like Dread Return, this would be great. In Modern, I think there's probably a,
I mean, there's a combo. You mill it, and then you Unburial Rites it. So you just like mill, you find, sure, a way to mill like the majority of your library. Unburial Rites this, they die.
Right. I mean, even in regular Dredge, like if you were gonna run some number of like Footsteps of the Goryeo, just to, as like a haymaker, you know, like you just like pop this guy onto the battlefield to 3 mana, 10 you, and then kill you with blood gas. Sure. Like, so I think he is a thing. He sort of feels like sort of Gray Merchant-esque to me in a way, like that sort of like late game haymaker where you just like slam it and you just automatically win. Torch Courier, unassuming, 1 mana goblin with haste, and you can sack it to give another creature haste. A Marling on our Discord actually pointed this out to me. It completely escaped my radar. But it basically, it enables like a really crazy nut draw scenario with Warren Instigator, or like any of the like any sort of goblin openers. One of the things that happens in goblins sometimes is like your two drops don't have haste. Mostly, like, unless it's your bushwhackering or something like that. So playing this guy on one, get in for one, and then like untap, play Warren Instigator, give him haste with this guy, he gets in, you drop like whatever, a Lord and a Siege Gang Commander on turn two, like that is serious.
That's called living the dream. That would be sweet.
It is, yeah. Well, it's living the dream, but like even the medium scenario, right? Like,
even, I mean, I'm fine giving a Goblin Rattlemaster haste. That's a powerful play.
Sure. Right.
It's like, a lot of damage. I mean, there's if you have some other goblins.
Yeah. There's a very average case that is still very strong that does something that the deck is interested in. So I like this guy a lot. Electrostatic Field. It's a 2 mana 0/4. It's basically, it's a red Wall of Omens, but every time you cast an instant or sorcery, it pings your opponent for one. So I had like sort of shades of like Wall of Omen, Wall of Omens like Gearper Aether Grid, kind of like that feel. It's the same body as Wall of Omens. It has a sort of a ping Aether Grid like borderline alternate wincon feel. Like, you can stick this in, like, I don't know, a dirtly Jeskai deck.
No,
and have...
Sorry. This card's not that good. If it targeted creatures, it'd be awesome. It doesn't, so...
Sure. I mean, it gives you...
It's interesting, but I don't think it's
quite... It gives you extra value off your spells, right? Like, it basically just turns everything...
I mean, it is interesting in Storm. Like, it's kind of interesting damage. There, where it's, like, it enables... Like, it can slow down, like, humans' decks and enables, like, very small grape shot kills. Where you can kill one, like, a grape shot for 8 or something.
Sure. Fire Urchin is a baby Kiln Fiend. This is, like, potentially Kiln Fiend 5 through 8. It gets plus 2 instead of plus 3, I believe. Oh, no, it gets plus 1. So Fire Urchin, it's 1 and a red for a 1-3, and it does come stock with Trample, which is something. And whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, it gets plus 1, plus 0 until end of turn. So there, it is a depowered version of Kiln
Fiend. I mean, the fact that it comes with Trample is not nothing, though. I think this is a modern power level card, unlike some of the ones we've mentioned previously.
Yes. Agreed. You know, is it like Slam Auto 4 of?
No, it's not. It's not insane, but the fact that it comes with Trample and like is enabled by other stuff you can do in Modern that is like inherently broken. Like the other stuff is inherently broken. It's just like a good conduit for them.
Yeah,
I think it's an interesting card.
Yeah, well, and there's already a shell, yeah. Right? Like the Kiln Fiend deck already exists.
Yeah, I mean, this card's great with Mutagenic Growth. It's great with like Become Immense, like those type of spells.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. Just an interesting card.
District Guide. So this is the new Borderland Ranger.
Instead of getting a basic land, it can get Guild Gates. I mean, it's interesting in that it's an upgrade, but not really Modern playable.
Yeah, the only you can hit it off Collected Companies. I don't know if
the 3 mana Planeswalker Nissa is just generally better. I mean, that one's a Planeswalker. This is a 2/2.
Sure. So there you go. There's that. Oh, is there one more? Oh, you put this one in there. Response Resurgence. It's a Boros split card. The front half is 2 mana, 5 damage to a creature, but in Living End, you can't cascade into it.
Something
you can actually play.
Yeah, Living End or Restore Balance, something like that. It's a deck that's like interested in cascading. It's a way to kill big creatures. It's not great. Dead Gone's probably a better effect for that type of thing, but it is notable in that it's a 2 mana removal spell you can play in cascade decks.
There you go. So target attacking or blocking.
Yeah, creature. I mean, it's not insane, but, you know, 2 mana to deal 5 damage to a creature. Like, it kills Gurmag Angler, it kills Hollow One. It's a card when you need a card.
Mm-hmm. Sure. All right. Do you want to do the generically powerful cards before we do like?
No, let's hit on our picks. We'll hit up the other stuff after.
All right. So picks. We did 10-ish, and then some pet cards. Mine are not in any particular order. Zach's are in like ascending order or descending order.
Yeah, I'm gonna go 10-1 on mine.
10-1. All right. Mine, like I said, I didn't have a... I actually just went through the thing in, like, Wooburg order, so that is actually where the order that it's in. All right. Why don't you go first?
I think I had number 10, I had Unmoored Ego. Unmoored Ego is not a great card. It's a... kind of lost legacy effect, but just for one blue-black, you can just take any card out of their deck and take all 4 copies of it. I don't think the card's particularly good, but it is very good in some matchups, particularly matchups against decks that are named after a card. So something like Ad Nauseam or, you know, like a Scapeshift deck where you want to take a Valakut, or even against Tron taking a, you know, Urza's Tower or whatever Tron piece they don't have. I think the card is less good than a lot of people are hyping it up to be, but I still think it is a modern power level sideboard card and, you know, something to keep in mind when you're building a deck.
Sure. I would at least be ready to play play against it.
Yeah, I mean, if you're playing as a blue-black deck and you're Tron, like, this is something you need to have on your mind. Or if you're playing Ad Nauseam, like, you might need that Pact of Negation ready to go, because I tell you what, you're not winning when this resolves.
Yeah, your life certainly gets a lot harder. Yeah, I mean, it's a sorcery, like Tron, you can counter it with Warping Whip.
Yeah.
So, like, you've already got some.
I mean, there's ways to deal with it, but, like, it's interesting. Like, you know, KCI is a very popular deck. It's a way to take KCI. There wasn't a way to do that for 3 mana before. You know, sure. Lost Legacy couldn't hit artifacts. So, it's interesting in that it has no, like, restriction on what you can get, and it's just a Cranial Extraction for 3 mana. So, it's just the best version of this effect, I guess. And, you know, this effect has classically been a trap, but there are spots where it's very good. So, you know. Can certainly be worth a sideboard inclusion in certain spots.
All right, so I'm gonna jump around on my list as it's written, just in the sort of on the fly 10-1. So my number 10 probably would be Swarm Guildmage, black green for 2/2 Elf Shaman. It has 4 black tap. Creatures you control get +1/+0 and gain menace until end of turn. And it also has 1 green tap. You gain 2 life. In games where, like, scavenging use is bad, but you still need to gain life, which is a non-zero number of matches, like, I could see playing this guy somewhere in 75.
Yeah, I mean, the card's fine. It's not great, but it's fine.
It's just the... And hey, you know what? Like, once you hit 5 mana, like, that is a ridiculous effect.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely powerful in an elf shell. It's like, I could definitely see this being like a one of you cord for in an elf shell that, you know, can lead to some pretty sick blowouts.
Yeah. So between that and like I said, the life gain, it's a...
I mean, the fact that it's like a green-black elf, where, like, if you're playing it, you're probably playing the Shaman of the Pack. Like, you're not going to need to deal that much damage, so +1/+0 and menace is probably going to be lethal. So, you know, something to consider. I don't think it's, like, an amazing card, but it's definitely a tool for these elf decks.
Yes. And regular green-black decks, if you are so inclined. Sure. Which I often am. What was your number 9?
Number 9, I have Ionize.
Stolen.
This is my card. I claimed it first. This is mine. I love me some Ionize. I don't think the card is particularly great in Modern. 3 mana for a counter spell in Modern is a lot. But, you know, there are decks where the 2 damage adds up, especially in Modern where, you know, people are playing Shocklands. They deal damage to themselves. You play Snapcaster Mage, so you might get the effect again. It's not like a snap 4 of, like, I'm not saying, like, oh, all these blue-red decks need 4 Ionize, but, you know, there's a lot of 3-mana counter spells in Modern, and they're all better in different spots, and I think in, like, a blue-red deck playing Snapcaster and Lightning Bolt, this could be the best one. I mean, that's definitely arguable, but it is interesting. You put it in a Delver shell. I think it could find a home there. I don't think it's necessarily great, but it's... There are times where this can be backbreaking, and the threat of Ionize can also be backbreaking. Like, the fact that, like, taking the 2 damage, you know, can be, you know, very detrimental if you're playing an aggressive strategy. It can, like, scare people into casting your cards at spots where they, you know, might be inopportune for them, where it's like, well, if they Ionize this, then this attack is going to be really good. Maybe I have to, like, cast this on their turn or something, you know? So... Just the threat of Ionize is a real thing, and I think it's a card that's going to see more Modern play than people would think. Not a ton, but, you know, like, if you thought I was going to see, like, you know, 1 in 100 blue red decks would play it, I think it might be like 5 in 100 or something.
Okay. Yeah, I'm obviously I am a believer. Like, another place where I think this gets silly is like. Like, if you have Brawl in play.
Sure, yeah. 2 mana, mana counter your spell and deal you 2 damage is pretty nice.
And draw a card.
Sure, yep.
Like, that's pretty strong.
Yeah, I mean, we have Blue-Red Wizards. That's already a deck that exists. So I think it's interesting.
So my next one is Blood Operative. 1 black-black for a 3/1 Vampire Assassin with lifelink. ETB exile target card from a graveyard, and whenever you surveil, if Blood Operative is in your graveyard, you may pay 3 life if you do return it to your hand. So recursive with surveil, that is a common thread running through like a number of my picks. I think the surveil mechanic is busted, like not game breakingly busted, but I think that it is for something that was like, according to, like, I asked Melissa DeToro about it, and she was like, you know, the, or I asked her specifically about disinformation campaign, which we'll come back to, but surveil was sort of meant to be like a limited mechanic. Sure. And so, but it's bonkers.
Like, yeah, I think it's very good.
It's search for Azcanta X. I just, like, that's crazy. That's crazy. Search for Azcanta is a crazy card.
Search for Azcanta is crazy because when it's flipped over, it's broken. The front side isn't great.
Oh, but the front side is card selection, and it fills your graveyard.
Yeah, the front side is fine. I mean, I think Surveil is good. I think you're right. Like, I think it is drastically more powerful than they thought it was, and I think it's going to turn out to be very good in Standard. I also think Blood Operative is a very good card. I think it's going to be one of the better cards for this entire set in Standard. I think it's very underrated in Standard right now.
And obviously, like, it lives in a deck that has Surveil. Like, obviously, we would not be playing a 3/1 lifelink for 3 that, like, ETB exiles a single card. But I think that there are Surveil cards that are powerful enough that they will show up in decks where when you also put this guy, like, that would also want Blood Operative. So that is how he ended up on my list.
Sure. I mean, if you find a good card that surveils, then this card is interesting to play for sure. Because there's a lot of ways to just put it in your graveyard. And when you draw cards for free, there are a lot of ways to take advantage of that. You know, or, I mean, we're thinking, you know, there are decks that play Burning Inquiry in this format. And those type of decks, definitely, definitely interested in, you know, in being able to just, like, return cards to their hand for free. All right, so my number 8 is Dawn of Hope. This is 1 colorless and a white mana for an enchantment. So 2 mana for an enchantment. It says, whenever you gain life, you may pay 2 colorless. If you do, draw a card. And then it has 3 and a white. Create a 1/1 white soldier creature token with lifelink. I think this card is niche. There's, you know, it requires a very specific home. But there is a deck in Modern that flies under the radar a lot and is a lot better than people think, and that is Martyr Proc. And that is a very grindy, white, life gain prison type deck that is very interested in drawing cards, but doesn't really have a good card draw engine. It has to play a lot of weird cards to just kind of get some card draw. But it's playing Martyr of Sands, and it's playing the 1-mana 6/6 flying lifelink thing if you have 30 or life more. Sarah Ascendant, I think? Yeah, Sarah Ascendant. So, like, it has ways to gain life, and this is a good way to gain, you know, to draw cards. And it's a permanent, which is particularly good with Amaria the Sky Rune, which is a land that deck plays. So, like, if your opponent destroys this, you can get it back. So it represents, and, like, the fact that, like, that's already a deck that's very interested in hitting lands, putting lands in play so it can activate Amaria. It's not going to be too hard to make the tokens with it. And then that kind of just snowballs. So this is the type of card that, like, the longer the game goes, the better it gets. And I think it's going to slot right into that deck. I think, you know, you'll, like, fairly soon see that deck playing 2 copies of this easy. Maybe 3. We'll see. I mean, the triggers do stack. Like, if you have 3 in play and you gain life, you can pay 6 and draw 3, which, you know, sounds expensive, but that deck is a very strange deck. Like, you're often going to be sitting at, like, 70 life, just sitting there doing nothing with a lot of mana in play. Like, that's like a common play pattern in the deck. So I think this could easily find a home there.
Yeah, I'm into it. I have a history of playing suboptimal draw spells.
That's fair.
So I'm ready. I'm ready for this one. So my next one is, I guess I'm going to cheat a little bit here. I have 2 split cards that are sort of like tied. So discovery dispersal, the front or the this is a split card. Discovery is one hybrid blue black, surveil two, then draw a card. And dispersal is three blue black, instant. Each opponent returns a non-land permanent they control with the highest converted mana cost among permanents they control to its owner's hand, then discards a card. So dispersal is kind of like a Warp Devotion effect. Warp Devotion, a card that actually came up in the on Discord today, but it's a three mana enchantment. It says whenever a permanent gets returned to a player's hand, the player discards a card. So this is that kind of, but instant speed, and with a highest converted mana cost clause, which is also interesting. I don't know that you're going to be playing that a ton, but the fact that it's there is interesting. Surveil two, draw a card. I'm very interested in that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. This card is unassuming. Not a lot of people are talking about it for standard even. And I think this card's very, very good. There's a card currently sitting on the modern ban list that is called Preordain, which is scry two, then draw a card. And obviously that costs one last mana, which is a big deal. But this is hybrid mana, so you can cast this for just you can cast this off swamp, which is not I mean, that's not zero. That's a real thing. I mean, we've seen Deathrite Shaman get banned for, you know, being an accelerant off of an underground sea, so you know, that's not something that is trivial. And then on top of that, again, like, this has the, you can play this in a Cascade Shell situation going on. So it's like, you know, if you're playing Living End and you're very interested in filling your graveyard and finding the card, you know, Living End or, you know, whatever Cascade spell, I can't remember them, the green red instant one or whatever. Violent Outburst.
Demonic Dread and
Violent Outburst. Yep. Like, you're interested in finding those cards, or, like, you're interested in finding, you know, maybe like, a hate piece in whatever matchup. Maybe you need a way to stop an artifact. You can go find your, you know, your Ingot Chew or whatever. But then on top of that, like, it just is a main deck answer to Leyline of the Void, which, like, a deck that's, you know, interested in playing this card would also be interested in. So, you know, I don't know this immediately finds a home, but it has very powerful text. I could see this card being very, very good.
Yeah, and I've mentioned Surveil a couple times now, but I haven't actually read the reminder text for it. So the text is to surveil X, look at the top X cards of your library, then put any number of them into your graveyard, and the rest on top of your library in any order. So most of the sort of uncommon and up ones are Surveil some number more than one. So this is Surveil 2. So you would look at the top two, put any number of them into your graveyard, and then the rest on top in any order, and then draw a card.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's crazy that, like a deck like Storm would play this card. Like, the fact that you can cast it, you know, for one blue with a Brawl out and fill your graveyard, what, like, when you're playing Past in Flames is insane. Like, yeah. It's probably not good enough for Storm, but I don't know that it's not.
So the other one, the other split card in this vein is Connive Concoct is another Dimir split card. Connive is two hybrid blue-black for Threads of Disloyalty, gain control of the creature with power two or less.
But that's sorcery, so it's like it's even better than Threads in the sense that, you know, you can snapcast it back or Eternal Witness it back or what have you.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. Yeah, I didn't even think of that. Oh, isn't Threads a CMC
two? Two or less.
Yeah, this is power two or less, so I guess it's not quite as...
No, but that, like, can be better. Like, there are spots where that's better.
Yeah. So, it interesting. Like, not...
You can connive a strictly... door in the Siege Tower, just punish those Doran players.
Yeah, obviously. That's the number one thing that I was thinking. Yeah,
gotta keep them in check, dude.
Concoct is actually the thing that I was really looking at. So it was it's three blue black sorcery, surveil three, then return a creature card from your graveyard to the battlefield. So if you're already in a headspace where, like, Unburial Rites is a reasonable card, I'm not ready to dismiss this one completely, because you also get to potentially put something in the graveyard with it.
Yeah, I mean, this is interesting in the fact that, like, you can return Emrakul to play, like the 15 mana one with the shuffle trigger. So I don't know that necessarily, like, Emrakul has to be on top of your deck, but, you know, Emrakul is powerful enough that it's worth doing that. And in fact, like, sure. Like if you played a bunch of Eldrazi, this is something you could do. So it's an interesting effect. There are ways to accelerate this out in Modern. I mean, we talked about Baral. You can play Simeon Spirit Guide. You know, you can play Rituals. So it's, the payoff is there. It exists. Whether you find a shell for this or not, we don't know. But the payoff exists.
Oh, man. What am I thinking of? Sorry, you were talking about, like, we've got a bunch of them that came in for Living End, and it made me think of something, and I cannot remember. What's the 2-mana, like, the bad Vampiric Tutor, or the bad Beseech the Queen?
No, don't.
Mausoleum Secrets.
Literally my next card.
Is it really? Oh. Okay, go ahead.
All right, so my number 7 is Mausoleum Secrets. For those wondering, the text is 1 colorless and 1 black for an instant, and it has Undergrowth, which is the Golgari mechanic from the set, but essentially it says Undergrowth is just however many creatures you have in your graveyard, and then it says, the text on Mausoleum Secrets is, search your library for a black card with converted mana cost less than or equal to the number of creature cards in your graveyard. You may reveal it, put it into your hand, then shuffle your library. So, baseline, you can always search for a black spell that costs 0 with this card, which, you know, there is one really good one, Living End.
Yes.
You can always get Living End with this card, which is interesting. This isn't particularly great in Living End decks in the sense that you might Cascade into it, but that is something you could do if you're playing like an Azvratol Living End deck. On top of that, it's not hard to make it always tutor for something that costs 1. And in Modern, there are cards you are very interested in tutoring for that cost 1. One I'm thinking of in particular is Death Shadow. It's, you know, in a deck that's playing like Thought Scour and, you know, Snapcaster Mage and like Colgan's Command, it's already interested in putting creatures into your graveyard. In fact, they play Street Wraith. So it's pretty easy to make this search for a black spell with CMC 1, and that deck plays a bunch of good ones. It plays Thoughtseize, it plays Inquisition, it plays Fatal Push, it plays Death Shadow, and then this is the, you know, you can Snapcast this back. So it's like, you know, you can tutor for your Thoughtseize, take their thing, you know, now you need to kill a creature, you can Snapcast their tutor for the Fatal Push, get the, you know, get the removal spell you need. So I don't know that this card is busted. It has some text on it that seems really broken. I don't think you're going to very often be tutoring for things that cost a lot of mana, but, you know, just because of Street Wraith and Thought Scour existing, it's not very hard to tutor for something that costs 1 or 2. And I think there are decks that are very interested in that. Like, one of my biggest problems with Grixis Shadow is that, you know, you're a deck built around the card Death Shadow. You, like, take your own life to make Death Shadow giant. And in games where you don't draw Death Shadow, it's an active detriment to your game plan. Like, you're hurting yourself a bunch, and then you die to a bunch of lightning bolts out of burn or whatever because you didn't draw Death Shadow. And it's like, just being able to make this deck a little bit more redundant, a little bit more consistent is something, you know, the deck could be interested in. I don't know that it necessarily is, but this is definitely, you know, definitely something to keep your eye on.
Yeah, the other thing that I thought about with this is Slaughter Pact.
Yep.
Like, you can always turn this into a Slaughter Pact. And that is something that I'm not completely uninterested
in. No, and especially, like, just, you know, a lot of decks that would play this, like, you're not really going to play this in a green-black shell because usually Traverse is a better style of this effect, but, you know, in, like, a deck like Grixis, where, like, you don't have access to anything that tutors like that, well, this, all of a sudden, this card's very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the fact that it's any type of card is real.
Yep.
Really, really real. All right.
Well, also, like, it can, like, once you have a bunch of creatures in your graveyard, too, like, it can tutor for Planeswalkers. So, I mean, you know, if you play it early, you know, maybe cycle Street Wraith, go get your Thoughtseize, you need a Thoughtseize or whatever. Yeah, that, I mean, that's a thing. You know, you play a little bit of a grindy game, then you top deck your Snapcaster. All of a sudden, you can just tutor for a Liliana of the Veil or a Liliana of the Last Hope. Like, that's a very powerful effect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think you end up, in that scenario, you end up saving one mana versus playing Dark Petition. Because you end up, you spend five instead of...
It's the same amount of mana, but it's better in the sense that like you can cast it early, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. Yeah, you can just get it. You don't have to cast it.
Yeah, like you can just like, you know, cycle Street Wraith, play, you know, Seer Visions, whatever. Maybe you want to shuffle away the cards, search up your Thoughtseize, then turn three you can like Thoughtseize into two Death Shadows or whatever.
Seems good. My next one is Creeping Chill. A lot of text on this card. It's a 4-mana sorcery, 3 and a black. Creeping Chill deals 3 damage to each opponent. You gain 3 life. Gets around Leyline, you know, like something, mm-hmm. right? On its that effect, we would not be paying 4 mana for. But when Creeping Chill is put into your graveyard from your library, you may exile it. If you do, Creeping Chill deals 3 damage to each opponent, and you gain 3 life. That is something that I would pay 0 mana for.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested in paying 0 mana for that effect.
So it's basically
also
like...
Also 0 cards, for the record. Like, you're paying 0 mana and 0 cards for that effect. That sounds good.
Yeah. So, like, it is the Narcomoeba trigger, but it's a 0 mana Lightning Helix.
Yep. Yeah.
And I would argue that is way better than Narcomoeba.
I mean, it depends. Like, Narcomoeba brings back Prized Amalgam, so that is interesting. But I think that you are right. Like, if the deck is playing Narcomoeba, it's probably interested in this now. Like, this is a very, very subtly powerful card. I think it's going to, you know, end up being one of the better cards in the set, actually.
So that's, any deck where you're dumping stuff into the graveyard, get a free Lightning Helix is a service that I'm interested
absolutely.
In.
Absolutely.
All right,
I got my number 6, I have Pelt Collector. It's a 1-mana 1/1 that says whenever a creature enters the battlefield or dies with power greater than it, put a +1/+1 counter on it. And then as long as it has 3 or more +1/+1 counters on it, it has trample. It is an elf, so that is a relevant creature type. And it is a warrior, so that's a relevant creature type. You know, we've already seen this in Modern with Champion of the Parish being an unbelievable card. This is in a worse tribe than humans, obviously, but elf is still a very good tribe. Unfortunately, elf isn't typically a beatdown tribe, but, you know, it's not impossible to play this in, like, a green stompy deck. The fact that it's, you know, a 1-mana creature that can just grow infinite, essentially. I mean, you need to keep finding bigger and bigger creatures, but it can easily be, like, a 1-mana 5/5, 1-mana 6/6 with some work that has trample is not zero. I think this is a very, very subtly powerful card, and... Again, this could easily be one of the best cards in the entire set.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, think about Experiment 1.
Yep.
Right? Like, the Evolve cards, the triggers were more easily gettable. Yeah. Sentence doesn't make any sense. The Evolve cards are more easily triggered because it keys off of power or toughness. This is just power. It is also like dies.
Yeah, I mean, it has a dies trigger
and ETB.
Yeah, that's super relevant.
So, like, that's something. I think you could definitely create a green stompy deck that curves like through this guy, where you go like this guy, Stranglerout Geist, Steelleaf Champion, like that. Or like a Leatherback Bailoff,
yeah, I mean,
you know, like something like that, where you can basically just like hit this guy. You play him on one, and then every turn that it is out there, as you're like curving out, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and it just, you know, your opponent, if they do not immediately kill it, is then having to now stare down this like 5/5 trample that grew completely for free.
Yeah, I mean, it requires work to be good, but it's like, it's not like work you wouldn't be interested in doing already, right? Where it's like, it requires work to be good, but the work you're doing, you know, is the type of work you'd be interested in doing without the card in your deck anyway. So it is, you know, it's powerful. And the dice trigger is something we haven't really seen. So it's like, You know, if you have ways to like pump your other creatures, like you can have, you can often have the same creature trigger this twice, and it's not even mm-hmm. like this is a weird example because I don't think these two cards would see play in the same deck necessarily. But like if you're playing this in a Primeval Titan deck, right? Like you play this, you play the Primeval Titan, this thing gets a trigger on it. Well, now all of a sudden your opponent has to kill Primeval Titan, or they're going to lose to it. So they kill Primeval Titan, and then this gets another counter. Like, obviously, Primeval Titan's not a great example, but it's, like, the type of example where it's, like, you know, the same creature's going to trigger it twice because the other creature they had to deal with, and now this is the threat that they also have to deal with.
I think I like this most with Stranglegroot Geist, because then you're going to get four triggers.
Well, four chances at a trigger. Yeah. I mean, it's going to stop triggering after a while. But you're right. Like, it seems great in a green stompy shell. It's also like not in, like it's also like probably pretty good in
just an aggressive green deck. I mean, like it doesn't need to be like Stranglegroot Geist is I don't think a completely unreasonable card to put in a non-green stompy deck. Like obviously it has to be a base green deck, but like you play this guy, you play Stranglegroot Geist, swing for four, and then if they kill the Stranglegroot Geist, it comes back with Undying at power three, triggers this guy again.
Yeah, also, there's another green card in Modern that's seeing a decent amount of play right now that's pretty good in Vengevine. And that's, you know, that's the type sure. of card where it's like you play this to trigger your Vengevine. You know, maybe you play this, play another creature, Vengevine triggers. This is a 2/2 tramp all of a sudden. They need to kill Vengevine, or Vengevine is definitely going to get down. That card does a lot of damage real quick. And now all of a sudden, it's a 3/3. You find any other way to play, you know, get your Vengevine back or whatever, and all of a sudden it's a 4/4 and it has trample. So it's, you know, the fact that it costs one mana, the fact that it has a relevant creature type, the fact that it has multiple positive relevant abilities, like it just has a lot going for it.
Yeah. Yep. So there you go. You're 12 cards in to a new deck. 4 Pelt Collector, 4 Stranglegroot Geist, 4 Vengevine. You figure out the rest of your own.
Water Shaman in there?
Yes. Oh, there you go. So Notion Rain is my next one. Notion Rain is one blue black for sorcery. Surveil two, then draw two cards. Notion Rain deals two damage to you. So this is very similar to an existing card, Read the Bones, which, even though it does not see a lot of play, is a modern power level card. There just aren't a lot of like black decks that are looking for a 3-mana draw spell, or like black decks that need card selection like sure. that. And 3-mana is kind of like a weird spot on the curve. This, I think, is that already playable card with the added like surveil piece becomes then an insane sure. card. So now instead of scry two, draw two, take two damage, it's look at the top two, put them in your graveyard, reorder the two on the top if you want, like put any number of in the graveyard, and then draw two. This just gives you a lot of flexibility. So I'm looking, honestly, like a lot of these surveil cards, I'm looking to go into some kind of bug midrange shell, because they're just like surveil with like Grimflayer, Dark Confidant, like that whole ecosystem is very, very appealing to me. And I think there's a lot of power there potentially.
Sure. I mean, I think it's pretty nuts and bolts what it does. Powerful effect, yep. Just worth mentioning.
Yep. All right,
my number next? 5, Beast Whisperer. Some more love for the green cards. This is a 4-mana 2/3. I believe Elf Shaman. And it says, whenever you cast a creature spell, you may draw a card. And
it's an Elf Druid.
Sorry. Yeah, whenever you cast a creature spell, draw a card. It's not May, but whenever you cast a creature spell, draw a card. So this card is essentially Glimpse of Nature on a body as a static effect, which, you know, is worse, I think, because, you know, this gets bolted. But it's not that hard to play this in an elf deck and, you know, Cord for this end of turn, untap, and just kill your opponent on the spot. Like, they are just so dead to this creature being in play. You know, 4 mana is a lot, but it is green, so, like, you know, 4 mana kind of feels like 3 in a green shell. And the fact that it's an elf means, you know, it's going to do elf things, which is bury your opponent in card advantage. And honestly, that's something Modern Elves has been missing, where it has Collected Company, it has Cord, but it kind of feels like it just needs a Zuri so bad to really do anything ever. And this could be, like, another payoff for the deck that really makes the deck, you know, pushes the deck over the edge, where, you know, against humans, this card stays in play for, you know, just a turn. Like, that might be enough to win the game by itself. So, you know, you play it with Heritage Druid, Nettle Sentinel, and all of a sudden, you know, you can draw your whole deck in one turn if, you know, you get multiple of these things out there. So, you know, the fact that it's an elf, too, means, you know, it can tap for mana with Heritage Druid, so it makes it even a little more appealing. I think it's pretty simple what it does, but it's a very powerful effect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there is not a modern legal equivalent of like,
there's not in straight green. There is, yeah. Bet Call, which is a card elf decks have played, but elf decks are not interested in playing blue generally. So
yeah, it's
yeah,
clunky.
It's not great.
Yeah, there's.
I mean, the fact that this is a body, like, you can Cord for it. You don't need to play a bunch of copies of it. It's just an interesting card.
Yes. Where's my window? Okay. Yep. Neat. All right. I'm going to do... Actually, you know
what? No, do that one later.
I'm going to do Runaway.
Do the Menagerie.
All right. Gruesome Menagerie. It is... 3BB for a sorcery. Choose a creature card with converted mana cost 1 in your graveyard. Then do the same for creature cards with converted mana cost 2 and 3. Return those creatures to the battlefield. Let me tell you about some combos.
I have one on my mind that I think is really good with this.
Is it Viscerasir Malira?
It is, things? Actually. How'd you know?
Because we were talking about it last time. I mean, this is...
Wait, I was actually thinking of Viscera Sierra and Offenza, the spirit one, the 2-mana spirit one, and Kitchen Finks, though. Yeah.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I bet you could probably also do Viscera Sierra...
Zero Remedies?
Kitchen Finks.
Yeah, that one's good, too.
Yeah. You could do... you could do Vizier, Devoted Druid, and... Oh, no, because Devoted Druid and Vizier both cost 2. Anyways, this is like a very straightforward combo enabler. It is 5 mana. Since you are going to be playing green, like, to your point about Beast Whisperer, like, you would definitely play a card that says, pay 5 mana, win the game.
Yep.
So... I'm ready. I'm here for it.
This is somewhat clunky, but against removal heavy decks, this is an awesome sideboard card for those that combo sure. Specifically.
Yep. Yeah, they kill all your stuff and you're just like, oh.
Well, even like it works.
Oh, you don't have a counter.
It works great with Viserys here too, in the sense that, like, you know, you had your Viserys here in play, they're trying to like path your stuff, you just sack it in response. Now all of a sudden it's all just sitting in your graveyard. You cast a spell and win the game on the spot.
No. Also notable about this, when I was playing Malira recently, I was playing Silent Gravestone just to keep other people from eating my combo with Scavenging Ooze, which was happening quite a bit. This does not target the creatures. You choose them. So you can have Silent Gravestone in play and cast this and still get your
creatures.
Yeah,
that is very
back.
Relevant.
And it does not have to be all 3. So if you don't have one, like, you don't have to have a 1, a 2, and a 3. If you don't have one, you just move on to the next mana cost. So, like, you could use this to just get back 1 or 2 combo pieces if you needed to. And that's obviously, like, if you're going to immediately win the game, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, 5 mana is a lot, but when it says 5 mana, I win the game on the spot, then, you know, Modern is interested in that. I mean, you see people play Ad Nauseam, which, you know, again, different situation, but, you know, it's the same thing. 5 mana, win the game.
Well, and you can also, like, I guess this is a situation where you could actually add, like, a gifts package where you're just like, okay, I'm going to cast, like, end step, cast gifts, untap, like, play
yep.
this, get back the combo pieces I'm missing.
Yeah. Off.
I've had, like, gifts on the brain.
Recently. Well, the fact, too, that it just, like, reanimates. It's like, you're playing these cards already. It's like, well, if they killed this one and not that one, or they killed that one and not this one, like, it just puts them all back into play. Like, there's no combination of them that they could have killed that stops this from winning. So, yes. That's what's interesting to me.
Also, yeah, very, very relevant, and it sort of, it fills a little bit of a hole in the build that I was using, where Liliana Heretical Healers Flipside couldn't get back Malira because it's legendary. Sure. So there was like a little bit of deck building tension sure. there. So there you go. All right. Gruesome Menagerie.
All right. My number 4 is Arclight Phoenix, which is a 4 mana 3/2 flying haste. And it says, I think at the beginning of combat, if you've cast, 3 or more instants or sorceries this turn, you may return it from your graveyard to the battlefield. At the beginning of combat on your turn. Yep. You're not really interested in the 4 mana 3/2 haste. That's not, you know, exactly what you're in for. But, you know, Faithless Looting is one of the best cards in Modern. I think it's pretty safe to say that. That is an instant or sorcery that puts cards in the graveyard. So those decks are interested in obviously putting cards in the graveyard. And, you know, being able to return hasty creatures to play from your graveyard is something that Hollow One does, you know, already and is very interested in. And that deck actually casts a lot of instant sorcery spells. Now, obviously, I don't know that it's casting 3 enough to trigger this, but that doesn't also mean that you couldn't build a deck different. Like, that deck's playing Flamewake Phoenix, which, you know, costs mana to return it from your graveyard, has less power, which all that deck's interested in is power anyway. This card is not legendary. I think there are ways that you could build Hollow One to become more explosive with this card, where you're replacing, you know, Flamewake Phoenix with this, or even playing some number of both. I don't know. Maybe you're interested in that. Maybe you're not. Who knows? But I think just 4 mana 3/2 flying haste is powerful. Like, you know, 3-power flying haste creatures are great. You see that in Manus Rider already. This can block, unlike Flamewake Phoenix. Like, Flamewake Phoenix can block, but it has to attack. This does not have to attack. Like, this just comes back into play, and then you can or cannot attack with it. Like, that's your call. And it's, you know, it's a really powerful effect. You know, maybe you have to build Hollow One differently, but Modern is the type of format where if you want to cast 3 spells, it's not that hard. Like, you can play, you know, maybe the list now just has Desperate Rituals into it, and you're just like, you know, Desperate Ritual, Goblin Lore, Faithless Looting, or Burning Inquiry, or whatever, then every single one that's in your graveyard just comes back at the beginning of combat. So, you know, it's a really powerful effect. It's something Hollow One decks, or just Faithless Looting decks in general, could be very interested in. And I think it's going to be a Modern player for sure.
Yeah, I had actually, I'm trying to think of, like, other red spells decks. I mean, like, Storm kind of, I think they already have enough alternate win cons that, like, they probably don't.
Yeah, I'm not super interested in Storm. I think mostly, like, this card's best friend is Faithless Looting. So, like, if the deck was playing Faithless Looting, it's interested in this.
I'm thinking
Pyromancer. Yeah, I was going to say, Pyromancer is a great spot for this, because Pyromancer was a deck that didn't have a clock. It was interested in more cards out of the graveyard, and it's playing, you know, Lightning Bolt, Thoughtseize, Inquisition, Colligan's Command, like, all of these cards that are going to trigger this by itself, and then it just gives you this, like, pretty quick clock against, like, the combo decks that you needed a quicker clock against. You know, I don't know that necessarily this is right in that, but it's also, like, just castable in that deck. Like, that deck will get to 4 mana. Definitely. So you can just play it as a 4 mana 3/2 flying haste. It's a recursive threat.
Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking of, like, some of the builds. I don't know if all of them still run it, but there was a period of time where they were running at least two Metamorphos. Sure. And like Metamorphos with this is like
insane. Yeah, definitely. Impressive. Metamorphos is definitely a card that this, you know, this card wants to see. So there's all like, you know, I don't think a lot of people are talking about this card, and I think it's because in Standard it's not great. Like, it's not super interested in Standard, and I can see that because it's, like, hard to cast three instants or sorceries early enough for this body to be super relevant, but in Modern it's not. Like, in Modern, like, legitimately, like, if this was all you were trying to do, like, it is possible to have two of these attacking on turn one, where it's like, you know, you can just, like, Faithless Looting, you know, Surgical, don't take anything, whatever. Like, I mean, that's like not a great example, but you know what I'm saying. It's like, it's not impossible to do this on turn one.
Yeah, I don't think that's the goal. So like in my head, this is like Faithless Looting, dump one of these, untap, like Metamorphos, Lightning Bolt,
Thoughts. Yeah, I mean, that, like that, but that's the beauty of the card, is like it's possible to do all these things. Like Hollow One is interested in getting this out as quickly as possible and getting it to do the most damage as possible. And it's like, yeah, like the way the deck is built right now, it's probably not realistic, but like it's not crazy that you would build a deck slightly differently to accommodate this. This card is powerful enough that you'd be interested in trying that. And then again, like it can also just be like a fairer, grindier card in Mardu Pyromancer, like you were talking about. So yeah. definitely a card to keep your eye on.
Alright. Let me do this one. Alright, so my next up is March of the Multitudes. So March of the Multitudes is an instant speed token generator. Always good. X, green, white. Little clunky on the mana cost. The text is create X 1/1 white soldier creature tokens with lifelink. See, that's the thing. A lot of the tokens in this set have lifelink, and that is a very real thing. The fact that these, so this in my head is like similar to Scatter [S2] Sure. [S1] The Seeds. And Scatter the Seeds is an insane [S2] Yep. [S1] Card. So Scatter is three green, and it makes three green convoke, and it makes three Saprolings. Like this is along those same lines, except 1/1 white soldiers are way better than Saprolings.
Yes, especially when they have lifelink.
You know, so you can chain these together. You know, convoke obviously is a mechanic that sees modern play. Like Court of Calling is a commonly played modern card. In a tokens deck, you know, green white tokens, Abzan tokens. There's plenty of room for you to get these out. I mean, this with Lingering Souls.
Oh, you missed my favorite combo with the card. Intangible Virtue. It's so good with Intangible Virtue.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Just yep. Like...
Yeah, give him...
Like, if you're vigilance. Playing Lingering Souls or other tokens already, like, you just have Vigilant 2/2s. You know, you can attack with them, play on defense, whatever you need to do, and then end of turn, convoke this out for a bunch more lifelinking 2/2s. Like, if you... Just say you had, like, you know, four Lingering Souls tokens, right, and an Intangible Virtue. You attack for 8. Maybe you have intangible virtue and Lingering Souls. Like, you don't really need much more than that, but like maybe you're playing against humans and they got a couple Mantis Riders and like your Lingering Souls aren't going to get it done. You're kind of in the standoff. All of a sudden, like, they make an attack they think is like okay, and then you just like convoke out like 7/2/2 lifelinkers and the game is just busted. It's just done. So,
yep. That's a very crazy.
Yeah, I mean, this card is powerful. Instant speed, you know, instant speed convoke cards. Like you said, Quarter Calling have a history of being pretty good. Definitely interested to see what this does. I think this is one of the best mythics in the entire set.
Yep. Yeah, I am a believer as well. All right. What's your next one?
My next card is Chemister's Insight.
Full disclosure, this card was originally on a later list that we will discuss, which is bad cards that people will play.
Incorrectly on that list, I might add.
and I get this message from Zach that is very ominous and like gave me a little mini anxiety heart attack. He's like, we have a problem. And I was like, what is happening? I was like, oh God.
You trashed the insight, man. Chemistry's insight is the truth.
And then, and then he's like, oh, you put chemistry's insight on the bad cards. So I was like, let's reserve that tone for like actual emergencies.
Like, that was an emergency. Really, you put chemistry's insight on the bad card list. This card is great. All right, I might be guilty of having this be just like the pet card thing, but this is one of my favorite. This is actually my favorite card from the entire set. I love this card.
All right, I mean, like, sell me on it, because I, like, rate-wise, I don't see it. So, read the card and then convince me that this is, like, even playable, let alone good.
So, it is 3 colorless and a blue for an instant, so 4 mana for an instant, that says draw 2 cards. That's it, that's the text. But it also has Jumpstart, which says I may discard a card and then cast this card from exile. So essentially, it's like I can turn any card in my hand into flashbacking this card. Or not cast it from exile. Cast it from my graveyard and then exile this card. So basically, like, I discard a card and it gets flashback and I can cast it. So this is an instant speed draw 2 that costs 4 mana. And if you've ever played against any blue deck in Modern that is reactive and interested in card draw spells, there's a pretty good chance they're playing a different 4 mana blue instant. That counters a spell, draws a card, bounces a permanent, taps all creatures your opponents control. I don't know if you've heard of this one. It's called Cryptic Command. Sure. And that card is great. It has a history of being very good in Modern.
Sure.
And one of the problems with Cryptic Command is it always can do something. It just, like, you can't find a spot where it doesn't do something that's, like, good for you. So, like, people will fire it off a lot because, like, they held up their mana. They don't want to waste their mana on their turn, right? And, like, a lot of times, it's like, you hold up a mana to counter their spell, and they'll just be like, oh, my God, this guy just, like, clearly has Cryptic. He left 3 blue up and passed with 4 mana open. Like, yeah, he's going to Cryptic my spell. I'm just not going to cast anything. I'll try and do something on his turn, whatever. And they're like, oh, well, I don't want to waste my mana. You know, it'd be really good if I had a way to advance my game plan while, like, using this mana right now. And which is, like, part of the reason why Search for Iscant is so powerful. Because once it flips, it's like, well, they need to cast stuff into your spell or you're going to activate your search. And this is kind of the same thing. And it's also really good with Search for Iscant because you can mill it and then just, like, have it sitting in your graveyard. You know, blue decks have traditionally had a little bit of trouble with Liliana the Veil because it just goes into your graveyard. You're like, you run out of stuff to do, like, it's just, all your stuff is discarded, and you just need a top deck, and it's like, well, now every top deck I have can be a 4-mana draw 2, which is great against Liliana, right? And it's good against Thoughtseize. It's good against, you know, any deck that's, like, trying to attack your resources, this is great against them. It just, like, it works so well with Azcanta and Cryptic, and also Settle the Wreckage, which is a card that's starting to see more play. It's an instant speed way to draw cards, so you can trigger Terminus off of it, and it gives you 2 looks at triggering Terminus, like in 2, you know, consecutive turns. You know, I don't know that this card's a 4 of. It is not an insane rate in Modern. It's actually kind of a little bad in Modern, but the fact that it's just the same converted mana cost to Settle the Wreckage and, you know, Azcanta activation and Cryptic Command just makes it inherently playable. And, like, the fact that, like, you can see it on top of your library when you're, you know, doing your Azcanta, you know, triggers, and just mill it in your graveyard and just feel completely fine about that. Like, it's just going to turn into, you know, a free card later. So, I think it has a lot going for it. It's not a great rate by itself, but contextually, I think it's a very powerful card in the format, and I'm going to probably, you know, find a way to slot 1 or 2 into my deck.
Okay. I mean, this is, like, It made me think of people that are, like, playing, what is that? The energy draw card. The energy draw thing. It's, like, 5 mana. It's a standard card that sometimes people
play. Glimmer of Genius? Modern.
Glimmer of Genius.
Yeah, Glimmer of Genius is worse, though, because it's, like, Glimmer of Genius is a better card, like, by itself. Like, I think if you gave me the choice between this card or Glimmer of Genius, I'd probably take Glimmer of Genius. But, like, contextually in Modern, I think this card is much better. Just based on the fact that, like, Liliana the Veil is a card. Thoughtseize is a card. You know, Cryptic Command is a card. Escanta is a card. Like, there's a lot of spots where it's, like, very powerful. And, like, Escanta has very diminishing returns. So it's, like, so good with Escanta, like, to be able to turn your second copy of Escanta that you don't need into two free cards. Or two, you know, two more cards, I guess. So it just...
Sure.
It just goes so well in those decks. I'm just excited to play with it.
Okay. All right. Runaway Steamkin. I'm so in. So in on this card. One red, whenever you cast a red spell, if Runaway Steamkin has fewer than three +1/+1 counters on it, put a +1/+1 counter on Runaway Steamkin. Remove three +1/+1 counters from Runaway Steamkin. Add red, red, red. Neat. All right, so here's all the stuff that's going on. And, like, strap in, because it's a ton. So, two mana... it's not red instant or sorcery, it's any red spell, so, like, that's a real thing. It grows to be a 4/4, for nothing. Like, one of the things that is the hallmark of a powerful card often is that there is no other requirement for its payoff than to do things that you would already be doing. So Tireless Tracker. Yeah. You get a clue for playing a land.
Something you're already doing. Kind of what we touched on with Pelt Collector, right?
Sure, right? It's, you know, like... I'm trying to think of another... Like, stuff you're going to be doing anyways.
Putting instants or sorceries into your deck for Snapcaster Mage?
Right, yeah. Like, you know, Delver, right? Like, you don't have to pay a cost. You have to pay a deck building cost for Delver to flip. But it just happens.
Yeah, like, you do have to pay a deck building cost for this. You have to put a red creature in your red deck.
Yes. Yeah, you have to be interested in something that can become a 4/4, attack, deal 4 damage, take 3 counters off it, add 3 red mana, and then, like, lightning bolt, lava spike your opponent. Yeah. I know some decks that are very interested in that effect. So I would look at this guy in Burn. I would look at this guy in Storm. I would look at this guy in, there are black red mid range decks that are, like, kicking around out there, that are quite good. They don't see a ton of play, but, they are good.
Yeah. I don't know about, like, black-red mid-range decks, but, like, Burn is definitely interested in a 2-mana 4/4 that can, like, randomly give them mana if they need it. I mean, that is something, you know, Burn is certainly interested in. And then, like, Storm has Seething Song and Rite of Flame banned because if those cards were legal, that deck would be broken. And there are no other red rituals in the format. Like, they just don't exist. And it's like, you can play Spirit Guide, but that's not quite what you're looking for. It's like, having this guy just, like, become a ritual when you're playing, like, Metamorphose and the other rituals is interesting. I don't know that it's enough, but it's definitely interesting.
Well, it's not just that it's a ritual, it's a repeatable ritual. So, like, you're gonna build this guy up as you're starting off, and you just, like, every time he gets 3 counters on him, you just pull the counters off. And then keep going off, and then he'll get 3 more counters, and you pull those off, turn those into mana, and then 3 more, and turn those into mana. Like, there's no...
Yeah, I mean, it's not inconceivable that in a Storm deck, like, this is, like, more copies of Baral. Like, it doesn't feel like it, right? Because it's, like, it's not making your, like, blue spells cost less, so it's, like, you know, it's worse with Gifts Ungiven, but it's, like, I could easily see, like, being, like... So, you know, in Storm, it's hard to storm off sometimes with no Baral in play, with just a Pass in Flames. Like... You can get there, and if you're good, you can do it just right, but it definitely is very hard to just, like, ritual, Pass in Flames, ritual, Grape Shot, like, get enough going to actually kill them. And I think, like, when you're doing that with discard in play, it's, like, not hard at all. It's, like, very easy to do that. Like, he just gives you so much free mana that turn from doing those things that, like, he could easily just result in 9 mana that turn.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, hey, you know, like, if you want to go all in, like, Hardened Scales, who knows, right? Some kind of red-green Hardened Scales deck, some kind of, like, move counters deck, some, you know, who knows? I mean, there's a lot going for this guy. I'm very interested to see the obvious and non-obvious applications of this particular card. Plus it's going to see crazy play in standard.
You know, something else that, like, as we're going over these, that I'm starting to love about this set is, like, the set has so many cards we've touched on that are like, well, you know, this is really interesting here. It's really interesting here. This card's a generically powerful card, but it's not, like, in-your-face powerful. It's not like, you know, when Khanza Tarkir came out and they're like, oh, Treasure Cruise and Dignity Time. Like, I wonder what these cards are going to see play. It's like, they need to be banned, like, 3 weeks after the set came out. They're way too good. Like, right. There's nothing like that going on, but it's like all these cards are, like, you know, subtly powerful. Like, there's definitely, like, you know, some deck building you got to do, but, like, when you find the home form, it feels like you're going to get paid off.
Yep. All right. That was my, I guess it was my number eight.
All right. Number two for me, I've got Knight of Autumn. Knight of Autumn is one green and a white, so three mana, for a Dryad Knight. And it says, when it enters the battlefield, choose one. You can put two +1/+1 counters on it. You can destroy target artifact or enchantment. Or you can gain 4 life. I think this card is... I mean, this is going to be one of the quickest adopted cards in the entire set. It's just very obvious. Like, if you were playing Reclamation Sage, you're now playing Knight of Autumn. If you were interested in gaining life in your Reclamation Sages... Well, you're going to do that too. And it's just a beater sometimes. This card's great. I know humans were already playing Rex Sage. They were interested in this. And something, you know, something interesting with humans is, like, they kind of were forced in, like, the way the decks have been built recently, you were kind of forced in this spot where it's like you needed to choose if you wanted to hate on, like, big mana decks more or, like, have some sideboard cards for burn. And as a result, burn decks were starting to come back. And now it's like, well, I can turn my Rex Sage slots into my burn hate slots, like... I mean, this is insane. And then, like, you know, that deck is playing Phantasmal Image 2, so it's like the first one of these is going to gain you 8 life, which is just almost always enough to beat Burn. You know, even more than that, like, it goes in, like, other decks. Like, Hardened Scales could play this if they wanted to and just, like, have a way, you know, have some extra hate against Burn. It just is, you know, a 3-mana 5/4 with a Hardened Scales in play. You know, 2 Hardened Scales in play, it can, you know, be even better. You know, it's not necessarily going to play those things, but it's just, like... You know, any green-white, like, even, like, green-white creatures decks. Like, I've played, like, green-white hate bears before. It was, like, a Leon and Arbiter, Eldrazi Displacer, Noble Hierarch deck. It's, like, if you have a repeated way to trigger this card, it's just so insane. It's, like, I remember that deck specifically. I was playing, like, 3 Kosali Primages because I had a really hard time against Affinity at the time. Like, I just could not beat Affinity. And it was, like, I needed to find my Pride Mages. I was going through these loops with, like, Eternal Witnessing back Pride Mages to, like, have a chance against them. And it's, like, well, what if I just start blinking this with Eldrazi Displacer? It's, like, Burn's never beating that ever. Affinity's probably not beating that. And it's just, like, a beater. So I think it's really powerful. Also, like, another thing to just note about this card is... the best green/white card in all of Modern, I think, is Noble Hierarch. And then, that's a debate. The best green/white card in Modern is, like, definitely Noble Hierarch or Horizon Canopy. It's one of those two. And Horizon Canopy is so good. Every single green-white deck in the format plays it. There are, like, just green decks that play it. There are just white decks that play it. It's an unbelievable Magic card. And, you know, its downside is that it always costs you life to make mana. Well, this always gains you 4 life, and it's in green and white. So... You know, all those Horizon Canopy decks are going to be interested in playing this effect now, and it's you're going to be seeing a lot of this card.
Agreed. All right. My number two, I guess, technically. Mission Briefing. So this card has been, like, all over the place on the hype scale. Like... For a while, it was, like, the greatest card ever printed, then it was terrible, then it was kind of, like, somewhere in the middle, and I think now people are kind of, like, it's kind of terrible again. And here's why those people are wrong. There's a deck, a bunch of decks, a family of decks that are interested in Snapcaster effects, but... really, really want to be playing spells. Those decks are Delver decks. So this is a Snapcaster that flips your Delver. Like, just on the strength of that alone, I think it is modern playable and, like, definitely slots into decks that, like, I want to play. It is instant speed. It has Surveil, too, so, like, it gives it flashback. It gives whatever spell you target. Or, actually, it doesn't target. Oh, that's another thing. Ooh, spicy. So you can use this with stuff that would keep you from targeting the graveyard because it doesn't target, you choose.
Yeah, I mean, it gets around, Surgical Extraction, like they're not going to surgical in response. It mills off the top of the library, so even if you don't have a target, you can cast it in like a desperation mode, like, oh, I need to, you know, hit whatever card, put it in my library. Like, I need to hit this lightning bolt to stay alive. Oh, boom, there's a lightning bolt.
Yep. So this card is amazing. Double blue in like decks that are interested in this is not a big deal. So like it's restrictive in the sense that it's restrictive. Like it's not readily splashable, but I'm not interested in that as a metric for this particular card because it only belongs in a very specific type of deck that will not have trouble making double blue.
Yeah, that's fair. Can I rebut this?
Sure. Yeah.
You'll notice that I have one card left on my list, and it's, spoiler alert, not this one. This one did not make my list.
Correct.
I think this card's terrible. I think it's a trap.
Madness. Aaron,
do you think Eternal Witness is a modern playable card? It's a very good card, right? I mean, it has a history in Modern of being a very playable, very good card, right?
Sure.
Have you ever seen anybody cast the card Recollect in your entire life? Okay.
No.
Recollect has an easier to cast mana cost than Eternal Witness for the same ETB effect. And that is kind of what we have going on here, except Snapcaster is an easier mana cost than this one. Now, obviously, Snapcaster doesn't Surveil 2, and Surveil 2 is what is even making this card interesting to begin with, because without the Surveil 2, this card wouldn't even be playable, just not a real card. And it is... My issue with the card is it's not card advantage. It's selection at best, and it doesn't advance your game plan. It's essentially like purely reactive. The only spot I can see this being interested in is when you like absolutely need to cast one spell, like your deck's built around it, sort of like Ad Nauseam, where it's like if they discard your Ad Nauseam, you can cast Ad Nauseam. If you're trying to find an Ad Nauseam, you can Surveil 2 and then cast the Ad Nauseam out of your graveyard. Like, there are spots where this has unique effects, but for the most part, like, just not having the 2-1 body is just too bad. I think the card is all right, but I'm not interested in it.
All right. Well, there's your disagreement for the episode. It's not as many fireworks as last episode.
That's fair.
But still vocal disagreement. All right, go ahead.
My number one is going to be no shock to anybody. It's Assassin's Trophy. This card is going to change Modern, for good or bad. We're going to see a different format 2 weeks from now. And it's going to be on the back of hate cards for green-black decks are either unplayable now or green-black decks are just back because this is everything they were looking for. I think this card is great. I think it's going to... I mean, we did a whole episode on this. I think this card's amazing. I don't think I need to talk that much more about it. I think all the green black mages around the modern world are rejoicing right now, and well, they should be.
Yes, we are. Kind of. Okay. Yeah. I mean, what else is there to say about the ridiculous card? All right. So my number one is basically Grizzlebrand. It is Doom Whisperer. Hold on,
can we check with the judge?
Which judge?
Flavor judge. You know what? I think they're going to allow this. This is Grizzlebrand. You can just call it Grizzlebrand.
Okay. All right, sold. So, an easier to cast Grizzlebrand.
Much easier to cast. It's See? Only double black instead of four black. Cost yep. three less, too. All
right, so Doom must have... I know. Card's great. So, three black, black, 6/6 flying trample.
Okay. Yeah, that's not bad. There's clearly a downside okay. with it, too, right? You just don't get more power and toughness flying tramples for less mana than the power, power or whatever, without a downside.
At Mythic you kind of do.
Oh, do
I
we?
Mean,
know?
Like I guess that's probably a defensible design. Like I don't think it would see print, but it's probably like I guess if you're gonna be giving discounts, like you're gonna be doing it at sure. Mythic. So, but the activated ability is pay two life. Surveil 2.
Wait, where's the downside?
You get... There is
one. I guess paying 2 life could be a downside, but...
Paying 2 life could be a downside. Like, it doesn't have lifelink, so, like, I'm... Like, I get that the Grizzlebrand thing isn't absolutely accurate. But I would like to submit that in... the Nourishing Shoal, Grishulbrand deck. This actually kind of like sets up your follow up combo in a way that, like, into the graveyard, which is kind of interesting.
I mean, no mana for this activated ability is busted. Pay 2 life, surveil 2 is
yes.
not reasonable.
Yeah, so, like, it just as a... Like, I don't think you put a 5-mana creature, like, a 5-mana value creature into a deck. Like, I think this needs to be, like, your haymaker. But I think it is
Well, that. It's like... this card is so much better than you would think for Modern. Because, like, if you just look on its surface, it's like, oh, yeah, my 5-mana creature dies to Path to Exile, whatever. And then, like, Path to Exile stops you from, like, stacking the top of your deck, too, right? Because you search or whatever. But, like, if you're playing Grizzle Shoal and then you just, like, ritual this out and cast it on turn 3 on the play, it's like, well, all of a sudden, you just set up all the rest of your combos. Like, you can just tutor and essentially bin a Grizzlebrand whenever you want. And then on top of that, like, they still have to deal with a 6/6 flying trample. Like, that's going to kill them in 3 hits.
Yeah, So we're back to like the thing that makes this ridiculous is you don't have to. There's nothing else that you have to do to activate the cost other than, or there's no. It's not limited by mana.
Yeah, there's no mana,
right? Like so oftentimes you will see stuff like this, where it's like it's almost there, but it doesn't quite get there, and the reason is that you have to pay for it. Like you have to pay like 1 mana and do something. Or like 1 mana get an effect that generally speaking will not see play, whereas like just look for the colon,
yep.
right? Like it just bam done.
Hey do Aaron,
yeah.
Do you know what the card Necrotic Ooze does?
All right, I have a lot of feelings about Necrotic Ooze because I want it. To be so good and cool, and it is asterisk. So the card that Zach is talking about is a Scars of Mirrodin, 2 black black for a 4/3. As long as Necrotic Ooze is on the battlefield, it has all activated abilities of all creature cards in all graveyards. So cool. Right, like a neat card. A lot of people have tried to sort of make decks around it. It has thus far not really ever put up a result that I am aware of.
Okay, that's not true. There was one period a while back. I think it was like around Khans of Tarkir standard. Something around those lines where it did well in like a Grizzle Shoal deck. Now, that was kind of niche. It kind of fell off immediately, and people found like a better way to build the deck. But that was kind of because you needed too many of like the same piece, right? Where it's like the deck just needed Grizzlebrand. Like it didn't work without Grizzlebrand. It was like you needed Grizzlebrand in your graveyard. So it was like having this card was like kind of win more in the sense that like without Grizzlebrand, nothing worked anyway, right? But, like, sure. This card finds Grizzlebrand, and it's an activated ability. So it's like, if you have, now if you have the Whisper, what is it, Demonic Whisper? Doom Whisper. If you have Doom Whisper in your graveyard, and you play Necrotic Ooze, you can just surveil until you hit Grizzlebrand at instant speed, mind you. So it's like, if they try to kill your Necrotic Ooze, you can just immediately surveil, find a Grizzlebrand, immediately draw a bunch of cards off of your, like, Necrotic Ooze that's in play, and then just, like, immediately, like, start nourishing, shoaling. Like, it's so busted. It just, like, makes Necrotic Ooze, like, in Grizzlebrand decks so consistent, and just, like, it just, like, is essentially Grizzle. It actually is, like, Grizzlebrand 5 through 8 with Necrotic Ooze.
Yep. I mean, so the decks, for some reason, it was, people are playing it in Jund, like, in Europe currently, for some reason, and I have no idea.
That's wild. That's awesome, though. More power to them.
Well, but, like, what are they copying with it?
Their opponent's creatures, I guess. I don't know. It works on opponent's creatures.
Sure.
Maybe Fulminator. They have Fulminator Mage in their deck. That has to be Scavenging Ooze. There's no way that's not Scavenging Ooze. Typed in wrong.
Yeah,
that is definitely Scavenging Ooze.
Okay. All right. That didn't make any sense.
All right. Past that, though, okay. Like, in Grizzlebrand decks, like, this card might actually just be broken. Like, it just pairs so well with Grizzlebrand.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, and, like, Nourishing Shoal, obviously, like, you're not going to realistically run out of life, and it just fuels all your stuff.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you have a way to draw, like, one card, like a Metamorphose, like, it is just Demonic Tutor almost. Like, it's a Vampiric Tutor, right? So it's like, even if you just, like, play this on 4, if you have nothing else, you can just surveil until you put a Grizzlebrand in your graveyard and have a Goryeo's Vengeance on top of your deck. Like, I don't know. This card's scary to me. Like, it seems like it's a lot better than people think, and it's going to be really, really powerful in Modern, I think.
Yes. The only reason that I didn't pre-order it is because the pre-orders were too expensive.
Well, I think, like, it's just going to see a lot of play in Standard just because it's just on rate. It's just such a powerful card. But I don't think it's quite there in Modern on rate alone, but it's like the rate is like almost good enough that you're like considering playing it as a 5-mana creature, right? But it's like the ability is what you're in for, and it's like, well, the rate is just bonus at that point. Like, it's just like, yes. It's just so good with Grizzlebrand. I don't know. I would not be shocked if we start seeing a lot more Grizzle Shoal in the next couple months.
Mm-hmm. All right. Pet cards. Disinformation Campaign, number one pet card with a bullet. I asked before the set was spoiled, because I am a psychic genius. I was like, I put a thing out on Twitter. I was like, how much would Kaya Ghost Assassin's -2 cost if it was a spell? And so for people who've not heard me rant about how amazing she is, that card is insane. Against control decks especially, it's doubly insane. So Disinformation Campaign is one blue black for an enchantment. When it enters the battlefield, you draw a card, each opponent discards a card, and then whenever you surveil, you return Disinformation Campaign to your hand, well, to its owner's hand, but to your hand. You discard, I draw is a unbelievably backbreaking effect. Like, in any resource denial kind of shell, it is everything you want, and there are very few cards that have that text on them. So the fact that this is essentially like a 3-mana sorcery, quote unquote, that does that, I'm ready. I'm in. I'm here. I'm building Surveil into my decks anyways, so it just sort of like works almost like a mini retrace. Sure. Where you could just get to keep recasting it. So I love
it's sweet. Card. What's your last pet card?
Oh, Risk Factor. I never met a three mana red Punisher card that I didn't like. So Risk Factor is two generic and a red for an instant. Target opponent may have Risk Factor, deal 4 damage to them. If that player doesn't, you draw 3 cards. It has Jumpstart, which is you may cast this card from your graveyard by discarding a card in addition to paying its other costs. Then you exile it. I have played Browbeat before. It is a very low floor, insanely high ceiling sorcery for the same cost. The reason that I think this maybe gets there where Browbeat doesn't is two things. One, because it's an instant. And two, because like they may be able to make an optimal choice the first time you cast it. It is unlikely that they will be able to make an optimal choice the second time you cast
it. Yeah, I was going to say, so, I played Burn. Like, it was the first Modern deck I ever actually built when I was still just getting into Magic. And I put Browbeat in my deck because I thought it was insane. Like most new players do, right? And it's like something I learned pretty quickly was the first Browbeat was always horrible and the second Browbeat was a lot better.
Yeah. So I think people are underestimating this for Modern. I do think it's going to see a fair amount of play in Standard, which is why it's pre-ordering around like $3. It's not a card that I would pay $3 for, but like, you know, if it either A, doesn't catch on in Standard, or like I don't desperately need to put it in a deck right now.
Well, something else you missed about this card too. You didn't miss it. Like you definitely hit on it, but like, a factor with this card is that Faithless Looting decks are really good in Modern, and Faithless Looting decks are looking for red spells that they can cast out of their graveyard. Now, maybe this isn't the one they're looking for, but again, it's a red spell you can cast out of your graveyard. Like, it also draws cards, which isn't nothing. Like, you know, in like a Hollow One deck, like this could be a great way to refill when, you know, you're attacking them. They're like, well, I don't know if I can take 4. All right, you can draw 3, and then all of a sudden you find, like, you know, the pieces you need. So,
I mean, I want to cast this with, like, Bedlam Reveler. Like, this is all upside off Bedlam Reveler, as far as I'm concerned. Like, Bedlam Reveler, dump this in your graveyard, draw a land and 2 spells, discard the land card, recast this, draw 3
more. Yeah, I mean, cards. I don't think this card is great, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not as into it as you are, but at the same time, I recognize that it is much better than Browbeat.
Yes. Indeed.
All right, my pet cards for the set. I'm gonna throw Ral Zarek out there. What can I say? I love the card Blue Moon. The deck Blue Moon. And Ral Zarek is the exact card I was looking for in its sideboard. It's sort of like, I was playing Keranos in the deck, and Keranos kind of stinks. It doesn't like affect the board immediately, and it just wanted another Planeswalker other than Jace, and it just like couldn't deal with not having Teferi. Like, Teferi was just, like, too much better than anything Blue Moon was doing. And Rael is not as good as Teferi. Like, I'm not going to go that far. But it is a powerful, you know, it's a powerful mid-rangey card draw spell that also is, like, you know, a powerful removal spell in Blue-Red, which is something Blue-Red, like, Blue Moon especially lacks. Like, it doesn't have a way to kill big creatures. And it just works pretty well with Snapcaster Mage. So Rael is a 5-mana Planeswalker, 3 Blue-Red. It starts with 5 loyalty and it has a +1, so it immediately goes to 6, and it says look at the top 2 cards of your library, put one of them into your hand and one of them into your graveyard. So like it just immediately goes to 6. You can bin like a card you don't want and draw the card you do, which is good. It's card draw with selection, which is nice. And then, you know, like that even can like set up Snapcaster. Like you can draw a Snapcaster and bin a Bolt, and then like, you know, you have a good play there. And it has a -3. It says Rael deals damage to target creature equal to the number of instants and sorcery cards in your graveyard and in exile. So his -3 gets around Rest in Peace. It gets around Relic of Progenitus. It works well with Snapcaster, whereas like other things that look at graveyard do not generally. So that's powerful. And he has a -8. It says whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, this emblem deals 4 damage to any target, and you draw 2 cards. So I have a hard time imagining you're going to lose when you ultimate him. And he ultimates pretty quickly. Like he starts on 5 and immediately goes to 6. So like 2 turns later, they're gonna lose to him. So they need to deal with him right away. You know, you can play him and immediately protect him if you've cast him in sorceries before, which in Modern, You got to 5 mana, so you probably have cast Instants or Sorceries before him. You know, like the blue-red deck especially, he was playing like Thing of the Ice and Head, you know, Opt and Serum Visions. Like his minus 3 is going to deal like 8 damage sometimes. So, you know, I think this card is powerful enough to see modern play. Do I think it's like a main deck inclusion in a lot of decks? No. I think it's worse than Teferi, but... you know, not all decks can cast Teferi. They're not all blue-white decks that are fair. There are blue-red decks, there are Grixis decks, stuff like that. And in those decks, I think he is, you know, kind of your B-level Teferi, if you will. So.
I'm sure that's exactly what he's always
just to be bad
for.
Teferi. But to be fair, Teferi's so good that, you know, this card might be interesting. And again, if there's one thing I've learned about playing with blue-white, it's that Jace by himself is not a great card. Jace with like other planeswalkers gets really, really good, really, really fast, and that's part of why blue-white's so good is that you can bury him with card or like planeswalkers. But the other colors didn't really have that going on, and you know maybe Rael gets there. I don't know.
Maybe he has a sweet lightning hand. I'm kind of curious to know what happened to his regular hand.
I don't know.
He's pulling. Appears to be pulling off a glove to reveal a lightning hand.
It's going to shock somebody, that's for sure. I don't know.
Yeah. I guess.
All right. My last pet card is Thought Erasure. It is a blue-black. It says target opponent reveals their hand. You choose a non-land card from it. That opponent discards it, and then you surveil one. Obviously, Thoughtseize, Inquisition, Duress all exist in Modern, so this is worse than those, but it is Thoughtseize text without Thoughtseize's downside of lose two life. And it's surveil, so it like, you know, helps you hit your land drops, whatever. You know, I don't think this card is, I don't think this card is great. I don't think it's like, you know, 2 mana for a discard spell in Modern is a lot. But there are decks that are like very interested in this effect. You know, specifically like Grixis decks, where it's like they really want to play the card Thoughtseize. They love the card Thoughtseize, but like they don't have a good way to gain life. Burn's already a problem for them. Aggressive decks, you know, kind of punish the Grixis decks with their Fetch Shock mana base when they don't have a good way to gain life. And this can be a really good sideboard card that just is the Thoughtseize that they want out of the sideboard that also just, you know, sets up the Snapcasters later, sets up the Colgan's Commands, fuels your Tassigers and Gurmaglers really well if you're trying to play those. I don't know if this card's going to get there, but I'm interested in it with just the rate it's giving you.
All right. I can see that. Man, so many generically powerful cards, which... have been since deleted for time, which is
let's just hit on a couple of them real quick, just because we mentioned most of these earlier. But some cards that have been getting some talk that we aren't as high on is there is a red white human soldier legend called Tajik Legion's Edge. It is red white and 1 for a 3/2 haste with a mentor, which says whenever this creature attacks, put a +1/+1 counter on target attacking creature with less power. And it also says prevent all non-combat damage that would be dealt to other creatures you control, and you can pay a red and a white to give Tajik Legion's Edge first strike until end of turn. The relevant thing about this card is he is a human. He can go in the human's deck. He can protect your board against Anger of the Gods, Pyroclasm, you know, stuff like that. Is it static caster, if you will? My issue with him is that those cards aren't very prevalent right now anyway, and... he's still good in humans, but you're never going to activate the red white in humans. It's just too hard to make that mana with that mana base. The mentor is fine, but not insane. Although it's pretty good because you can easily make him a 4-power guy with Thalia's Lieutenant, and I could see him replacing like a Mantis Rider. But I don't think this card's necessarily insane. I think it's just like a card humans might play one of, something like that. Like,
yeah, I mean, Mark of Asylum is. A generically powerful card. It is a 2-mana enchantment that does not attack. So the fact that it comes on a very good body that comes off of Vile along with a number of other things that are already in your deck, like I think it's very low, like low investment for potentially very high return, and like his floor is still a very good creature that also has another good ability when attacking, which is what you already want to be doing. Like there's, I don't see a real downside to including this in your deck. In like, if you're playing humans.
Sure. I mean, Yeah, like I think this card's like a shoe, and it'll be like a one of in humans. It might not even make it there, honestly, but I think the card's good. It's fine.
I mean, if they cut, I mean, they cut Malcontents, like,
yeah, it could easily.
I would play this over.
I don't know. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think you could. I think this card's interesting. I could definitely see it in humans. I don't think it's like amazing in the deck again, but I think like I could certainly see him being one of the flex slots in that deck. I don't really think he's replacing any of like the core cards, but definitely like in a flex slot, I could see it. Just like, you know, he has so many lines of text that there's probably something there.
Yep.
Next card we have is Conclave Tribunal. It is three colorless and a white for an Oblivion Ring. It's an enchantment that just says exile target permanent until it leaves the battlefield, but it has Convoke. So the thing about this is it can just be tap four creatures, exile target thing, which is really powerful. It's an enchantment in a world where Assassin's Trophy is about to be legal, so that's not great. But, you know, if you can pay zero mana to exile something, that's a pretty good effect in Modern. So definitely something to keep your eye on.
Yeah, I mean, once again, like in the tokens, in the world of tokens. Yep.
I mean, Lingering Souls exists. Yeah. So you can just play Lingering Souls, flash it back, and then convoke out a Conclave Tribunal. It's not nothing.
Yeah. Like a zero mana or even a one mana Oblivion Ring is quite good. So, Vraska Golgari Queen. This is something that was a subject of discussion on the Discord. I think it is playable, possibly even good. If there's not a ton of room for four mana Planeswalkers in green black, but you could certainly do a lot worse than like repeatable Abrupt Decay and draw a card, and if you ever get to Ultimate Her, you win.
Yeah, I mean, I think this card's fine for Modern. My thing is just like I have a hard time believing there's not a better option in whatever green black deck you built.
It's possible. Like I said, I'm ready to try.
Yeah, I think it's the type of card you can try. I think like you'll play with it a couple of times, it'll be all right, and then you'll look like, well, maybe this card should have just been Tireless Tracker, or maybe this card should have just been, you know, the four mana Karn or whatever. Like I think there's just better options.
Sure. The other one is Legion Warboss, 2 in red, Goblin Soldier. It has Mentor, which is whenever this creature attacks, put a +1/+1 counter on target attacking creature with lesser power. And at the beginning of combat on your turn, create a 1/1 red goblin creature token. That token gains haste until end of turn and attacks this combat if able. So obviously, Goblin Rabble Master, except instead of if this guy attacks, one of his tokens will become a 2/2. And that will continue to happen every turn. So like there's a scale progression where like on an uncontested board, it's like an insanely quick clock. And that is something that sort of like aggressive Jund decks can deliver through like Abrupt Decay, Terminate, that sort of thing. I mean, you can also like, you know, Damnation, untap, play this guy, and then clock your opponent in three turns.
Yeah, I mean, I think Legion Warboss is a powerful card. I just think it's worse Rabble Master, honestly. I think in Modern, if you were interested in Rabble Master, you'd probably just be playing that card. I don't think this card's horrible by any means. Like maybe if you're looking for Rabble Master 5 through 6, then you want this, but I think in general you'd rather have Rabble Master. It's just a more powerful card, I think.
Provisionally agree. All right. So before we get to the spice rack, you can visit us on Facebook, facebook.com/turn1thoughtseize, all spelled out. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at @T1thoughtseize. Zach is at @A22EN. You can watch a stream at twitch.tv/T1thoughtseize, sponsored by our friends at Card Hoarder. You can see our YouTube videos at youtube.com/turn1thoughtseize, all spelled out. You can read my columns at blog.cardkingdom.com. You can become a member of the Thoughtseize Cabal at www.patreon.com/turn1thoughtseize, all spelled out. And, of course, you can see all of our content on turn1thoughtseize.com. The Spice Rack, this show is Thousand Year Storm. I do not see this at all. Please explain why this card is here. and then we'll
wrap sure. up. So Thousand Year Storm is 4 blue red for an enchantment, and it says whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, copy it for each other instant and sorcery spell you've cast before it this turn. You may choose new targets for the copies. So this card's probably not great, but man, is it spicy. This card can go nuts real, real quick. I think it's the type of card you can just, like, power out on Storm on turn 3. Like, you'll be happy to just be like, ritual, Thousand Year Storm, go. And then, you know, the next turn, if you untap with it, well, the game's over. You're going to win with your Storm deck. The nice thing is it gets around Graveyard Hate, which is something Storm is interested in post-board. Like, you'll see a lot of times they're playing the 3-mana draw 2 for Pieces of the Puzzle. So this is kind of like the same, like a way to do a similar thing where it's just like, you know, you untap with this, you win. You know, you, like if you just like ritual this out and then you untap and just like, you know, Serum Visions opt or whatever, like that's, you just drew 6 cards, like you're going to win the game. So I think it's a really, really powerful card. You got to find the right home for it. I could see, you know, other homes for it possibly. I'm not sure exactly where those are yet, but I think this card is just, the effect is so degenerate that it's, you know, something people are going to be interested in playing.
Well, like I said, I don't really see it, but I believe.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, we didn't have it on our top 10 cards of the set, but I don't think this is like that far off. Like, I think you can find spots where this is insane.
I, once again, provisionally believe you. That is it. This has been a chunky set review. I mean, the set review ones are normally long, but it's been extra long. So there you go. We'll catch up with you next time. Thanks so much for listening.
Peace.